Okay, let's begin. We're up to page 564. We're up to the third part of the Mizmor. The Mizmor is divided into four parts according to the approach of the Malbim. The first part is the Hashem's Hanhaga Derech HaTeva. The second part is Hashem's Hanhaga Derech Nisiyis, miraculous approach to communicate with us, with the world. Hashem does miracles every once in a while, and the Goyim are humbled when they witness the miracles. And now we come, according to the Malbim, Menashe is the author of this Mizmor, and he's now going to relate his personal life story, at least according to the Chiddush of the Malbim. None of the Rishonim said that I'm aware of, but the Malbim on Acharon, the more recent Acharon, he says an awesome Chiddush, and let's see how he reads this into the Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk Ches, Baruch Hu Amim Elokeinu, V'hishmiu kol tehiloso. He is giving a command. Bless, may the nations bless our God, and may it be heard the sound of his praise. Let's read a few psukim to get the flavor of what is happening here, and then we'll go back. Pasuk Tes, 564. Hasam nafshenu b'chayim. We say this in davening. That's right, the whole thing, everything, the whole here for Tillim is plagiarized straight from the Siddur. Okay, Hasam Navshenu Bachayim, Hashem has set our life, our neshama with life. Where it says Bach, we really need a more accurate translation. We're gonna come to the, let's just wait a moment. Okay, we'll wait a moment to get a more accurate translation. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives us life. He takes the neshama and he gives the neshama life by putting the neshama in a guf, as we say in the Asher Yotzar. Refechol basar maflila asayis. Like the Shparuch Hu, he takes the neshama and he puts the neshama in the guf, and that is what is called life. V'loy nosan lamot ragleinu. Hashem does not permit that our feet should falter, that we should fall down. Ki v'chantanu Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tested us. Okay, life is all about being tested. Tziraftanu kitzrof kosef, Hashem has purified us as one purifies silver. Hashem has put us into the Kor HaBarzel. We come into this world, and this world, the person goes through difficulties, and every difficulty in life, easy to say, impossible to accept and fulfill, but every difficulty in life is an opportunity to purify, to refine our neshamas. It brings us to our purpose. Coming here into this world is no different than Klal Yisrael going down to Mitzrayim, where they were refined. They were trained to be slaves. That's what Chazal say. They were trained to be slaves in Egypt. And that made it very easy for them when they left Mitzrayim to transfer their loyalty, the midos of being a slave, directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every person as an individual is a microcosm of that global, that national experience. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tziraftanu, Kitzrafkes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has purified us like one purifies silver. Ha Ve'sanu Va Mitsuda. Hashem has brought us into the Mitsuda, means into the trap. The Mitsuda, what is the Mitsuda? What the Mitsuda means into a trap? What does it say in the Mitsuda? Mitsuda Sion Ritsoin Elaimar Bema Asar Shel Mivtsar Chazak. He has brought us into a prison, into a fortress. And right away you get an appreciation according to the Malbim is an Acharon. And he's telling us that this Mizmor was composed by Menashe. Menashe is getting personal. Nebuchadnezzar captured Menashe and took him down to Bavel and put him into a mitzuda. Yeah, a mitzuda means an enclosure, a trap. A cauldron is something that's hot.
Yes.
But that's not in this context of this pasuk. I don't know if that's what it means here. In his case, you say that in Menashe's case, he was put into a big pot, then they lit up on fire. Yeah. Okay, all right. It's the same idea.
It's like that old joke about how to serve your fellow man.
How to serve your fellow
rare
man?
Medium.
What?
The Cannibal Cookbook.
How to serve your fellow. Oh, that's very interesting. I remember Gears of the Ankusa. I remember Batman and Robin. I remember they put Batman into a big pot, and they were cooking the pot. Somehow I have this memory. Mayer's gonna search it. He's gonna find the clip of Batman being put into a learn from Menashe. What they did to Menashe, they put him into this big. Okay, have sanu vamitsuda samta muuka. Okay, and samta muuka, they have, you have put a muuka means a hook. Mitsuda sa muuka tsara. Over here it says he types of muuka means a tsara. Muuka tsara vitsuka kamo meik tach techem a tsara in your place. So it means over here that you have a chain. Okay, there are different translations of this, but we'll see a little bit more. The Rashi says it means l'shoin masger. The chevel is a chain. Hameik. To lock up. Samta you Hashem mu'oka. You have put the subject into a chain. The mosneinu on our loins. They were locked up in chains. You see on television sometimes. You have one of those things still, where these movies where they have people walking around in chains. Ain't it doime the real thing? I was once in the hospital visiting, so in a hospital, and they brought a prisoner. There's a prisoner, prisoners also get sick. and they brought a prisoner to the hospital for, I don't know, for where what, and it was very frightening to watch. The prisoner was dressed in orange, the real orange, bright orange. And he had at least one police officer, if not more than one. He must have been a very violent criminal. And he was mamish walking in the corridors of the hospital in chains. Chains, like on his feet and on his hands. And there was an armed guard that was accompanying him. And like, whoa, who did this guy kill? And he was in the hospital. He was in the hospital. So you see, it's one thing you see it on television. It's all, everything is make-believe. You see it in real life, it's a scary thing. This is a real criminal. At least, in America, it's like you really wonder who's the real criminals. But this was, it's scary. It's scary to see these things. And here it says over here, Menashe is describing this situation where you, Hashem, have brought us into an enclosure and you have put upon the subject chains, vimosneinu, on our loins. Now, on our, what is it, on the legs? I guess it means that the legs cannot move. We'll see with the mafresh a little bit more.
Around the waist.
Around the waist. Okay, we'll see with a little more. Let's just go to the psukim. Pasuk Yudbeis. Hirkafta enosh is a very famous pasuk. Hirkafta enosh l'roshenu banu v'esh uvamayim. But yet, here we come to the last words of atotzi'enu lo rivoyo. Hashem, you have put upon us. The word hirkafta means to ride. It sounds almost like a horse. A person is riding on the horse. We are the horse, okay? And you have allowed to rise upon us. Sus v'rechem v'rechem v'yam. You've allowed to ride upon l'roi shenu, upon our heads, an enosh. Enosh means a nobody, a frail human being who doesn't deserve any honor, any respect, anything, and yet Hashem, you have allowed an enosh to dominate, to be in control, to have authority, and to control our heads. Banu, we have entered vo'esh uvamayim. They have drowned us. They have thrown us into the furnace. Yet, at the end of the day, vatotzenu lo rivoyo, you Hashem have taken us out into a wide open area. Pasuk Gimel. And after the miracle of Hashem, you have survival, I will come, David says, to your home with oilos, or if you wouldn't want this, Menashe, I will return to your home and bring offerings of our oilos. Ashalem l'chon nidoroi, I will pay my vows. Pasuk Yedalit, Asher patsu sefosoi, v'diber pi batzar li. Now, what does this mean over here? This means over here that I will, literally it means, I complained a lot. Okay, I complained a lot. Patsu means to open up. Patsu means to, what is it in exact translation? Pasu, to open up. But it's more than just opening up. It's an opening up of, usually of complaint. But over here, that's not what it says. According to the Mitzvot David, Pasuk Yudalit is a positive Pasuk. It is a continuation of Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel, at the end of the Pasuk, it says, Hashem Lucha Nedarai, as we've discussed many, many times, Noidrin Be'ez Tzoram. When a person finds himself in a difficult situation, he makes a vow, Hashem, if you help me get out of this Matzav, I will reciprocate, I will bring Oilois, I will do good things, I will become an observant Jew, I will bring give tzedakah, v'chulu v'chulu. So here, Pasuk Yudalit, according to the Mitzvot David, is an explanation, an elaboration of the vows that the subject has made. The subject here, whether it's David or it is Menashe, he said, Hashem, if you will go and get me out of this matzav, I will reciprocate. And read the whole Pasuk backwards. Batzar li, in my stress, in my pain, what did I do? Diber pi. I spoke up and I said, I made promises. My mouth said words. The words were, from the subject, from the context, they were vows. Hashem, if you help me, I will reciprocate. Asher patzu sifosai, my lips, they were open, and words were coming forth from my lips, promises to you, Hashem, help me, and I will reciprocate.
Pasuk says, like the parallel to what we said?
Not really. Hashem sifosai tiftach means assistance in being eloquent, in being able to pray. We all know that davening is very difficult. You need a lot of siyata deshmaya to be matzliach in concentrating in your tefillos and expressing yourself properly. So I think when you say Hashem sifosai tiftach uziyah giti losecha, that's a prayer to be successful in praying. Here we are describing a person, whether it's David, whether it is Klal Yisrael as a whole, whether it's Menashe, who finds themselves in an extremely difficult situation where the curtains are closing and they say to Hashem, Hashem, please intervene, do a miracle, bring a miracle, or do something, whatever, whether it's Valderech HaTev, now Valderech HaTev, intervene and get me out of here. And if what is the incentive, Hashem, you will have that I'm presenting you? If you will get me out of here, I will reciprocate and devote my life to glorify you and to make your name known amongst the entire world. I will reciprocate. Over here, the Asher Patsu Sufasai Gzutai Vidiber Pi Batsar Li, according to the context of this Mizmer and the Pasuk before, where it says, V'oilois Ashalem Luchon Nidarai, it is just a basic thing which we have many, many times. Mikan Shenoidrin Be'ez Tzara. Yaakov Avinu was running away from Esav. Esav wanted to kill him. Yaakov was feeble, was weak, had nothing. All he had, ki v'makli avarti esayardin hazeh. He had nothing, Yaakov Avinu. Eliphaz stole all of his money, and Yaakov was vulnerable. He was in an eighth tzara, and he said to Hashem, if you will help me survive, I will devote my life to you. Ve'evan hazois asher samti matzvayeh beis elokim. Okay, so everything, the truth is really interesting, the base Hamikdash that we have today is nothing more than a fulfillment of the vow of our patriarch, Yaakov Avinu. Every time a person goes to the base Hamikdash and brings a karbon, what is he really doing? He's saying, you know, it's my duty to fulfill the vow of my ancestor, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu easily could have been eliminated by Esav, and if he would have been eliminated, I wouldn't be here today. There would be no Klal Yisrael. And the only reason why we are here is because Kodesh Baruch Hu, you intervened and you protected him against all odds to survive. And therefore, it is our, Yaakov Avinu said it's our duty. Good morning, Rabbi Wolf.
Good morning.
Rabbi Wolf gets a Mazel Tov. His granddaughter, right? Granddaughter?
Yeah, granddaughter.
Granddaughter got married in Eretz Yisrael. And due to the marvels of
Amen.
And with
Baruch
Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvaray. With the marvels of technology, he was able to participate with Zoom. Isn't that amazing? Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us incredible bracha. Technology can bring do miracles. So here we are over here. So over here, this is so Mark, this is Pasuk, so Pasavidi Bapi Vitzali is described over here, be can't shouldn't be eight sorrow. Pasik test Vav.
It did say that's it.
Whatever
it
says in the previous verse, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk it's a continuation, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Avoy Vesecha, the Oilois, I'll come to your home with good sacrifices. Ashalem Luchon Nidoroi. Pasuk Yudal is now elaborating upon the vows. The vows were expressed.
But what I'm saying, it's a vow without tonight. Not like Yaakov
said, Okay. Well, from the context, well, I don't know if that's, from the context of this Mizmor, it seems it is a tonight. Because the psukim above mentioned, Ha'ave sonu vamitsuda, samta mi'uka vimosnenu, hirkavta enesh l'rashenu, bonu v'esh v'mayim. So it seems in the context that we were in a very great difficulty. We were in a nesara. And then a miracle happened, that hotzein l'ore v'ya. And now, I mean, from the context, you get the general impression is that we over here have been in a very difficult matzav, and we were about to perish, and Hashem saved us. And usually from being a Jew, that usually happens through a neder. Mikan noidin, that's what a Jew does. Mikan noidin be'eis sara. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Tezvav says, Oilois mechim a'ale loch im kitores elim. Now, the word mechim means fat. Okay, shemenim l'shoin moyach. Okay, the word, it's another word for fatty sacrifices. I'm not going to bring the cheap stuff. I'm going to bring the expensive. You know about your cheesecakes? You know, they're all different types. Mincha chadosha l'Hashem is Rashi Tevois. Cholov, right?
My daughters are making them.
What is?
Is
there any gluten and cheese?
Mincha chadosha.
Can't get sugar free.
Chadosha l'Hashem, chadosha ches l'Hashem, lamid b'shavuosechem, beis cholov. This is a famous word. This is an old word. This word is older than in all the chickens. Mincha chadosha l'Hashem b'shavuosechem. What is the meal offering? The mincha of Shavuos. It's chadosha l'Hashem. B'shavuosechem, ches lamid beis. The meal of the Yom Tov of Shavuos is cholov. So when you bring this meal offering to Hashem, what are you going to bring? The 99 cents that you get in the leftovers from last year, or are you going to bring the good stuff? The mincha chadosh l'Hashem over here, oilois mechim, fatty oilois, not. I guess the marrow.
Yes,
what makes a bone? Correct, right? The moyach is the fat of the bones. Bones. I mean, everything's all relative with how you look at things. But I guess a healthy bone is a bone that has marrow. The bone does not have the proper marrow. There's something wrong with the health of the animal. So it's an expression. Oilois meichim in this context, according to the Mitzudos, it means fatty sacrifices. I will bring up to you Hashem im kitores elim with kitores elim. Now, the word elim usually means a ram, and kitores usually means fragrances. Doesn't really go well together. The Mitzudois, how does he learn this? Kitores elim haktaras emurei elim. So the word kitores over here is not being used in its ordinary way. It means the kitores means a fragrance, a reach nichoyach of animals. Because an ayil, elim, rams are not the fragrances. It's not the keteres asamim. So it's unusual. It's an unusual expression to take the word keteres and use the word keteres in reference to the reach nichoyach of an animal sacrifice. Usually, the word keteres is exclusively used in reference to different ingredients, samimonim, that you bring as the keteres on the Mizbeach Azov in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, not something which not the fragrance that comes from the burning of the meat on the fats of an animal. That's not the usual way you use the word kataris. Yet, at least according to the Mitzudois, he has no choice here. He says, I'm going to bring fatty oilis, a'alet loch, in together with the kataris, the fragrance, which I'm assuming is the reach nichoyach, that every carbon brings, of the elim of the rams, which is just another, you know, it's poetic repetition. This poetic repetition over here, the pshat, we'll see more. Ese, vokar, again.
Well, when a person makes a barbecue, also
you can, the whole block can smell it.
Yeah.
The whole block can smell it. It's a good, as of good meat. You have to have good fragrance, good meat. Ese, vokar, and he repeats himself for the third time. This is the third expression. I will bring forth vokar. Vokar is cattle. Im atudim, sheep. Atudim means sheep. Sela. And that concludes part number 3. Sela is the end of section number 3. You see very clearly, we're reading the Pesuk on a very simple level, that over here, dealing over here with how the Malbim suggested that this refers to Menashe. This is a personal account of his life experience, where he was taken by Nebuchadnezzar, taken out of Babel, and he was near death as they lowered his body into this pot and they lit the fire. He cried out to Hashem for salvation, and from the context of this mizmor, it would appear that he made vows. Hashem, if you will save me, I will come back to the Beis HaMikdash and do teshuva and bring korbanos. And indeed, Hashem listened. Hashem saved him. He came back. But we know it was too little, too late.
Can I just add?
Yes.
I'm trying to find a source, but I think it's in Sanhedrin where this is discussed. And it's not exactly a noble appeal. It says something like this. He said, Hashem, please help save me from my predicament. For if you don't, then call on Pinchovin, then you are all the same, meaning all the Avodah Zarahs that I prayed to first and didn't help me, you're no better.
He's threatening Hashem.
Look, I called out to all my idols, they couldn't help me. Now I'm calling out to you. You can't help me either, you're all the same. Which means he's trying to put Hashem into a box.
He wants to blackmail Hashem.
To force the issue.
Right. Listen, Menashe is not a very complicated person. The Mishnah says he has no chelik la'ilam haba. And then the Gemara apologized, don't say that, this whole shach v'tariah. Menashe is a complicated person, but you have to give him credit. Right, this is the tshuva. So Ramachol is saying this is not a type of teshuva that you're going to get a shishi on Yom Kippur in shul for. To say to Hashem, listen, I already prayed to all the gods, they didn't answer me. Ah, welcome back. Of Mordechai means you have competition. Meet your competition.
I love this competition.
Welcome back from the sunshine state.
Where's the cheesecake?
Friday.
Pineapple.
Okay. So we have over here, you're right, Michal, you're saying very good. Michal, maybe that's the reason.
My precious cousin, you're calling a competition.
And you see, no.
You did.
See, I sat next to your grandson today, Kirstein. You have a grandson, Chaim Berlin. Such a nice boy. I sat next to him during davening. And now I see the Zeta. I see the three generations. I just don't want to see your son-in-law, because I'm in a lot of trouble.
You see him socially,
not professionally. His son-in-law is a big doctor, cardiologist.
Who did you see? You saw Joseph?
I saw his grandson.
His grandson.
Chaim Berlin. I sit next to him doing davening.
Which one?
I think Yosef. Yosef. He has a second name. What's second name? Yosef.
Yeah.
On the Tillenbeg, I think there are two names.
Chaim.
Could be it. I'll look at the Tillenbeg better next time. Okay.
which is a
cauldron. You're saying very good. Mayor, I'm waiting for that picture of Batman in the pot. I'm telling you, I have this in my mind from you know, Gears of the Ankusa. It's a very good mashal of here for what happened to Menashe. They did exact. How do you think they got it? How do you think they knew all this? Menashe, everything from Tanakh. So they put him into a big pot and they lit the fire. That's the Eish Uvamayim. And over here, so Michal, you're saying, Michal, maybe that's part of the reason why his teshuva was not successful. I mean, he was not influential on Klal Yisrael.
It was somewhat insincere.
Okay, and maybe that's the reason why he was not able to bring back the whole Klal Yisrael. Menashe, the first part of his life, the first 30 years of his life, being the Melech, destroyed Klal Yisrael, mm-hmm. burnt it down to Mamish, to everything. And then Hashem, after 30 years, had enough of him and had Nebuchadnezzar come and shake him up. And then when he did Teshuvah for the last 25 years, he did Teshuvah, but his Teshuvah was inconsequential. He was unable to undo the damage that he did. And Michal, maybe what you're saying is part of the reason why he was unable to undo the damage. It's because his teshuva is lacking in what today would be considered acceptable. His teshuva was blackmail. You know, I went and I prayed to all the gods. They didn't answer me. And now I'm going to pray to you. You're not going to answer me. This goes to show Hashem that you know different than everyone else. That's not the way you do teshuva. Hashem owes you nothing. Hashem owes you nothing. You, it's a gift for you to be here, to have an opportunity to be in this world. You don't talk to Hashem like that and behave like that. And maybe that's part of the problem. That was part of that. Even when he did teshuva, we have to acknowledge that his being chayzeh b'shuva didn't make a difference. At least for Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael was still down on a path that was leading to the Churban. All right, this concludes the third section of this Mizmar. And again, if not for the Malbim, we would be really in a lot of trouble. The Malbim really gives us so much flavor by doing us this favor, by telling us there are four parts to the Mizmar. Everything so far, the Malbim fits like a glove. The first part was Hashem's Hanhaga. Hashem controls the world, Derech HaTeva. And there are some people that are fortunate enough to be able to see that. And they come close to Hashem by acknowledging that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Noyeg, is the Manig. The second part of the Mizmar discussed that that even those people who don't get it, not able to see through the facade of Teva that Hashem is there, do get it when they see HaKadosh Baruch Hu do things that are miraculous, that are lemala mederech HaTeva, and they praise Hashem, they come around. And then we come now to Menashe describing his personal experiences in life. And number four is going to be his message, his last will and testament for Klal Yisrael. But let's analyze these psukim in better detail. So we'll go back to Pasuk Ches. We're going to go into it very quickly. Let's start with the Mitzudos, Pasuk Ches. It says on page 565, there is no Pasuk Ches for some reason. I find that to be very disturbing in Tehillim. I noticed this, that in the other Sephardim that we had, the Zuchus to learn, the Mitzudos does not leave out a single pasuk. Even if he has nothing to say, he'll make up something to say in order not to leave out a single pasuk. We learned Treyasa. I'm telling you, I don't think there's one pasuk in the whole Treyasa that the Mitzudos stuff did not comment on. He will not let go of a pasuk. And in Tehillim, his parish is a little bit less. He leaves out psukim, and in some of the psukim also he's not marich like we're accustomed to in some of the other sephardim that we have learned. Yecheskel is also very marich, very much the Sefer Yecheskel, very much, and in Treyasa is marich. He's much more makatzer in Sefer Tilim. Hasam, maybe he wrote this a different part of his life. Hasam v'lo yicholtem lechalos esanu. Kesakadosh Baruch Hu. So first, the pasuk begins with Baruch Hu. We're giving an instruction. I'm commanding the world, bless Hashem. May the nations bless Hashem. He is our God. Let it be known, let it be heard. Hashem's praise. Pasuk Tes. Hasam nafshenu b'chayim. We say this in davening. Mesudas. V'lo yicholtem l'chalois oisanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set our neshamos in life. Okay, we have to remember this parish when we daven, when we say this in davening, that whatever the context of this pasuk is, whatever the goyim try to do to destroy us, they will be unsuccessful. That is because Hashem has set a rule that our neshamos will be alive. we will exist in this world no matter what, whether the goyim like it or not, and there is nothing they can do that will change the rules that Hashem has set in this world. Hasam, Hashem has established that in this world, nafshenu, the souls, the collective neshamas of Klal Yisrael will be b'chayim. We will be amongst the living. And nothing the goyim can do, nothing can change that fact. A lot of these globalists, they think that they can control the world. This is a sickness that people think that they have so much power and control that they will succeed in changing
shape.
They're changing the rules of the world. How many nations have made a decision that the Jewish people shall no longer be amongst the living?
Well, I would say,
it's not Pasuk Ches. That's exactly the point. Pasuk Ches. Pasuk says, Baruch Hu Amin Elokeinu. So that's
the nations of the world.
Right. So that's exactly what it. That's right.
I saw him not ashamed of the high because we call Israel.
Are we here for good? The goyim should acknowledge Hashem's power is the ultimate power, above their power. The goyim think we're in charge. We rule the world, and if we do not, the Jews are just guests. They're an unwelcome guest in this world, and we have made a decision that the Jewish people should leave the world. They should be eliminated. Throughout history, the church, okay, the Crusades, all the infidels, going back to Nebuchadnezzar, Bavel, the Nebuchadnezzar, and then Titoist, the Romans, and the Germans, the Holocaust. I mean, that's just a small sampling. Of all of our enemies throughout the world history. Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches begins. Pasuk Ches is the new section, the command. Baruch Hu Amim. Who is speaking? It's not important now who's speaking. Mi Omar Elmi. Let's assume it's David speaking. Okay, sake of simplicity. David Hamelech is speaking. Who is he speaking to? The Umas Olam. Baruch Hu Amim. I have an announcement to make to the nations of the world. Listen up. Baruch Hu is in the United Nations. He's standing there on the stage of the United Nations and he's speaking to the entire world. And I'm telling you, Baruch Hu Amim, all of you people, all of you shall get up and bless Elokeinu, our God, the God of the Jewish people. And all of you, I'm commanding you, Vehashmiu, you should let it be heard. Go back to your home countries and tell them about the greatness of the God of the Jews. Let it be heard, the coil, the sound, tehila so of God's praise, the praise of the Jewish people. Why? Why should you praise Hashem? What should change your attitude and take you out of your akshanos? Is because all of you here in the United Nations, how many resolutions did you pass to condemn the Jewish people? How many of you, if you can obliterate the Jewish people and all of your ancestors from throughout world history, have made a conscious decision and convince yourself that it will be carried out, that the Jewish people should be eliminated thoroughly from the face of the earth. That's how the United Nations was only created to condemn the Jewish people. In this generation, we don't even go back generations, in this generation, how many resolutions, I used to memorize these numbers, how many resolutions have been passed in the United Nations condemning the Jewish people? An outrageous number. There's nothing else in the entire assembly that goes on over there the numbers come anywhere near to this number of the resolutions that they have passed to condemn the Jewish people.
Probably about
90%. Even though the more technical term is the state of Israel, let's be realistic. The state of Israel is just a placeholder for the Jewish people. The Jewish people, okay? We all know that. Let's not make believe. And
it's okay. Ben Gurion said they should rather condemn us, but not menachamim. Not mourn us.
Mourn us. They'll never mourn us. They'll never mourn us. These the Sean. Yeah.
The
Talmud
writes in the Sagada, the only reason why there isn't the nine nations is because Mashiach comes. said, we were friends of yours. And says, look at their
friends. Yeah, exactly. In hindsight, everything is 20/20. When Mashiach will come, everything will make perfect sense. Perfect sense. Exactly. Yeah, there's a lot to be said. We are trained, unfortunately, for good reason, for very good reason, we have become extremely insular. The Jewish people believe the whole Tanakh is only speaking to Orthodox Jews. Whole Tanakh, Tehillim, it's just about, Borough Park, the Borough Park and Flatbush, Muncie and Lakewood. That's it. The whole Tehillim was written for them. There are 8 billion people in this world. Did anyone ever, 8 billion people in this world? Tehillim is not for them. They don't know for them. It's so clear as day in Tanakh. Tanakh, it's about the world. Most Mashiach, when Mashiach will come, my suspicion is everyone's going to, the year Mashiach, go deal with the world. The front people, we can take care of ourselves. We have our own Rosh Yeshivas, our own Rebbes. Melech HaMashiach, there's a whole world for you out there. The Mashiach, most of what you find in Tanakh about Mashiach, he's not even addressing Klal Yisrael. A major chunk of the Melech HaMashiach is to deal with the whole world. Right. To put them in line, to put them in place. He's a busy man dealing with countries that you can't even pronounce. I never knew how to pronounce Zimbabwe until I met someone who was from Zimbabwe. And he explained to me what life is like in Zimbabwe.
It was Rhodesia. Before South Africa, Rhodesia, a lot of European Jews.
Dangerous place there.
I don't know how you're going to deal with Kyrgyzstan.
Okay, but whatever it is, you're right. David over here is a globalist in a good way. In a good way. And he's speaking, Baruch Hu Amim Elokeinu. He's addressing the Ummah Yisraelam. You, wake up, bless all of you nations, bless the God of the Jewish people. Why? And the Hashish, poetic, the Hashmiu. I'm giving you a command, go back home, go back where you all came from, and let it be known in your country, the koil tehiloso. It's a beautiful expression. Let it be heard in your country, in the world, the sound of Hashem's praise. Why? What is the new focus that David is coming to make known to them? All of you people, you have tried throughout history to destroy the Jewish people. And here we are, Tav Shin Pei Gimel, Klal Yisrael is thriving. You know why he's thriving? Because the one that controls this world is the Ribbono Shel Olam, not you. And humble yourself. Acknowledge that fact. Acknowledge the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He is the authority, because Hashem has one Hassam who has set, He has set a rule, a reality in this world that He created, that Nafshenu, our neshamos, the collective neshamos of Klal Yisrael, shall be b'chayim, amongst the living. We're here to stay, not you. We're the ones that are here to stay. V'loyna san lamoit ragleinu. Hashem never allowed our legs, our feet to falter. We are on a mission. The Jewish people are marching on a mission to bring this world. V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol aretz. Bayomahu yi Hashem echad shmo echad. And Hashem has never allowed our legs, the collective nation of Klal Yisrael, to falter, to go off the path, or to get stuck as we continue our journey to bring the mission to fruition of the Malchus of Hashem on the entire world.
You want to say this is the same message as Ha'ulas Hashem Kol Goyim Shaku Kol Omim?
Yes. These are themes that are very similar, that reappear over and over. So you see over here, you have a pasuk over here, you read this pasuk in Davening, and without the context, you're just saying words. It's a very painful reality. You go through the whole life, and we read passages all over in the Siddur. We have no idea what we're saying, because we don't appreciate the context of where the psukim were taken from. And more often than not, it was meant that in Chazal, they composed the Nusach HaTfilah. They assumed, everyone knows, everyone knows Tehillim inside out. And you just have to give a person some keywords, and those words right away bring to mind the context of where the words were said in the context. And here's an example. Here, you can't read this pasuk asam nafshenu b'chaim v'loy nosan lamoed ragleinu unless you know the pasuk before. If you don't know the pasuk before, so then the pasuk hasam nafshenu b'chaim, what does that mean exactly? Hashem, he set our neshamos in life. What does that mean exactly? No, people die. Not everyone lives forever. Not everyone lives forever. And who me, Omar El Me. Okay, that's the first thing they teach in elementary school. Every time you read a pasuk, first question is, Ivrit b'Ivrit. Me, Omar El Me. Who is the speaker and who is the subject? That's the first thing, every single thing you read. Who said this pasuk? Pasha Pshat is David. Okay, Pasha Pshat David. David's name is not mentioned here, we started this in the Hakdamah to this Mizmah. Pasha David said this, and David, who is David speaking to? Well, the pasuk before tells you. He is addressing the whole world. 8 billion people.
The UN.
Well, the United Nations, they're the representatives. The representatives, right, these are the representatives, they all come together. They're representatives of 8 billion people. Okay, let's see what it says. Let's go to Mitzudas first. Let's go to all the Mitzudas. Pasuk Yod, Ki Vichantanu. So over here we are describing the mission of the Jewish people. We are on a path. And throughout Jewish history, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tested the Jewish people. Ki Vichantanu, Hatzorois Asher Bohu Oleinu Hema Oz Hayu Livchoin Oysanu Imniye Oindim Be'emunas Hashem. Throughout Jewish history, the Jewish people have been tested. And the test is to determine Hashem is coming to see, are we really faithful to Him? Now you'll say it's not fair. Okay, it's really, you know, Holocaust. There's no one who can blame any person. It's not possible to blame a person for, unfortunately, you know, leaving the fold after the Holocaust. Many, many people, Rahman al-Tzlan, can you blame them? Chas v'shalom. You can't blame. And Baruch always tells me that the only difference between the people, Rahman al-Tzlan, who unfortunately they gave up Yadus, versus the people that remained, is not because the people that remained, not by, I can't say every person, is because the people that remained were bigger believers. It's they were quiet. They just, for some reason, the questions, the challenge is beyond our ability. And we're not going over the whole thing. This year again is that, you know, the Welt says Hashem only gives a person a nisoyon that he can handle. You look around and you see people, they're dealing with things, and like I don't know how in the world. I just spoke to a person 2 days ago, and I had a nightmares. What's going on? Situations, a person who lives with a certain massive. I mean, these people, I say to myself, in the next world, these people are going to are in a makom, in a modar. I have no shaykhs. I don't want to have shaykhs. With the nisyonos that they go through, and how they live with it, be'emunah shalema, it's mind-boggling. Just mind-boggling. And so is it really, what does it mean? Hashem only gives a nisoyon to a person who Hashem knows can handle it. That's what they say in the Welt. That's what it says. That I told you, Reisman gave a whole shiur on this. And he I didn't go over the whole thing. It was a fascinating private shiur. This was not a shiur for 1,000 people. It was a shiur, there were about 25 people at most in the shiur. And he basically said, it's not really true. It's not really true. You can't hold Hashem hostage. Oh, Hashem, you only can do this, you can't do that. You have a person, and the person can't handle, so Hashem, you're limited. You're limited what you can do. That's Apikorsus. Hashem is unlimited. Hashem can do whatever He wants to do. Yimavakish, rachamim, that Hashem will have rachmanis and not bring upon a person a nisoyon that he can't handle. But to go limit Hashem, and Hashem can't do because you have decided that this nisoyon is too much and the person will be mowed down because the nisoyon is too great, there's no such thing in Yadus as limiting Hashem's ability in any shape or form. There's no such thing. Hashem can do anything. And to say, to create, construct a set of rules that Hashem can't do this because you can't understand, it's your problem, you can't understand. You, a person, has to humble himself. Emunah pshuta, Hashem is mole rachamim, yud gimel midos rachamim, oilam chesed yibane, Hashem created the world to do chesed, and that's it. That's it. To limit Hashem is not something a human being can do. So people, unfortunately, have been tested. This pasuk over here says, you, Hashem, have tested us. Scary pasuk. Extremely scary pasuk. We're describing over here world history. We're describing history of Golas, of Klal Yisrael. And you have tested us. Tziraftanu, you're going back in the Mitzudot, Tziraftanu, Kimoy Hatzoreif, Mesir Sig HaKesef, Al Yidei Hatzeruf, the smith, whether the coppersmith, the goldsmith, whatever, the person that deals with metals, he purifies metals, silver, Al Yidei Hatzeruf, Cain likewise, Nismorku Avoneinu Al Yidei Hatzeruf, Hashem has purified our sins through difficulties. Kepasuk Yud Aleph, Have Sanu Va Mitzuda, Af Ki Yoshavnu V'Ma'asar, even though you have put us in a prison, in a ghetto, or in a society where we are discriminated against, we are limited, you're afraid to walk out in the street, Hoysafta Oy L'Hasim B'Masneinu Dover Hameik, and you have, in addition, it's not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have put us in a prison, in a ghetto, in an environment of limitation, you've also added insult to injury, as they say, by torturing us. Oid l'hasim b'mosneinu, to put on our thighs, davar hame'ik u'meitzer, something which causes us pain. Now, what is this thing they put on the thighs to cause pain? I thought it was the chains, right? The chains, not necessarily, he doesn't say that over here, but they put some type of object on our thigh that causes us tsar. Next page, page 567. Hirkavta enoish heim malchei ha'umois. You have put them in a position of power. Who are these people? The nobodies. These leaders, world leaders, who sign executive orders all over the world to discriminate against Jews in world history. Who are these people? Well, the chosh of the people. The Lamdonim, they're ethical people. Who are these people? They're nobodies. Nobody of nobodies. We'll go study their lives. We're shocked what kind of lives these people live. The leader of the, you wouldn't believe that there's a person, they have an organization called the World Health Organization, the WHO, is that what it's called?
Yeah,
so the leader of the WHO, I saw a little bit of a clip of, who is this person that is in charge of the World Health Organization, that basically every country today is in the process of literally lunacy of submitting their sovereignty to this one guy, to this organization. The health of the world, if they make a declaration that they feel there should be a lockdown, every country has to submit. You do whatever he says. Every country has to give over their authority. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? Who does he think? Who is someone elected him? He wasn't elected. You know what kind of life he lives, this person? And he's going to make decisions that every president, every head of state, yes, whatever you say. I don't know what's going on in this world. It says here in this pasuk here, Kafta Enosh. It doesn't say in Adam. It doesn't say in Ish. It doesn't say a Gever. Doesn't say a melech. It says an enosh. Enosh is the bottom of the pole, the bottom of the bottom. Enosh means a feeble creature who has no backbone, who has nothing. Enosh means weakness, sickness, a weakling. He is the authority. He is going to tell you what to do. Hitler, yimach shemo v'zichro. He should have been locked up in a mental institution. A madman. What is this guy parading in the street? a vicious meshugana? How did he get into such a position? Hashem put him. Hashem, if not for the fact, if he would be in a regular society, he would be on a farm, a pharmacy just for him to give him enough medicine to calm him down, A meshugana, and this meshugana is ruling the world. He rules the world, and he goes and what's going on? Everyone is a pachat from him. What's going on over here? When Hashem wants, Hashem's the boss. Hashem hirkafta enosh lirosheinu. Hashem, unfortunately, in Galus, when Hashem wants, he rides. They are in control. They have the hirkafta is a very powerful word. They're the driver. They are in the driver's seat. In enosh, a feeble human being, lirosheinu, upon the head of Klal Yisrael. The head of Klal Yisrael are the tefillin. The tefillin. Shakai, Umika Amcha Yisrael, the head of Klal Yisrael is the Tzitz. The head of Klal Yisrael is the Shemen HaMishra. The head of Klal Yisrael is the din of the Nazir. Kadoi Shiyeh Gadol Peras Saroishai. You put upon the Roish of Klal Yisrael, the Tzitz, the Tzilin Shemen HaMishra, the Sar of the Nazir, in Enosh, and you put him in the driver's seat to tell us where to go, what to do, how to behave, what to eat, what not to eat, and to go from one country to the next, to expel us from one country to the next. Who do you think you are? When the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, that's the way it goes. You cannot outsmart Hashem. Banu va'esh v'mayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you brought some esh v'mayim. Vatotzienu, let's refer to the Mitzudot, Herkav ne'enosh hei malchei umayis, Vatotzienu aval im kol zeh. Now we're going to start talking some good things, positive things. Im kol zeh soif adavar hoytseisa oysan lor vaya into the wide expanse. V'loy cholinu biyadam Hashem. At the end of the day, will always show rachamim to Klal Yisrael and redeem us. And now David says, Pasuk Yigimel, Avoy ulazeh, the day will come when we will return. Avoy leveischa be'oilois, Pasuk Yedalid, Asher Patsu, Lindor LaHashem, and I will pay the vows that I opened up my mouth to vow to Hashem. Pasuk Tezvav, the Ketoris Elim, Haktoras Emurei Elim, the fragrance, the sweet fragrance of the Karbonos of the rams, Sela le'olam mibli hefsek, ki abeis hamigdash ha'achron lo yecharav, it will never be destroyed. Let's see Rashi. Back to the Rashi's Pasuk Ches in the previous page, on page 564. Pasuk Ches, Ches and Tes, Baruch Hu Amim Elokeinu, al nifli oisav, for his wonders, shehu sam b'chayim nafshenu, b'neichem ba'golus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed us to survive. The survival of the Jewish people in Golus is a miracle. That's what Rashi says. The nations, the day will come when they will acknowledge the nifla'os, the wonders of Hashem, that He has sustained us in life, nafshenu, b'neichem, amongst the goyim, ba'golus. V'einchem yicholim lahashmid oisanu, and you are unable to destroy us. Every ancient civilization is long gone. Long gone. They're in a museum, or not even in a museum. And Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, is mamish thriving. Thriving like never before. And this is something that the Umayyad Ha'olam are going to come to acknowledge, and it's nothing other than a wonder. Pasuk Yud, and now we go and we describe our experience. When we reflect upon the long galus, what is our experience? Hashem tested us, and it wasn't a picnic. Ki vichantanu batzara bagoila, great tzaras and galus, tzeraftanu lehasir hasigim, you have purified us, Klal Yisrael, by removing the sigim, the impurities, mimenu she'noshuv b'shuvah lefanechu, we should do teshuvah, k'moyushet tzarafim ha'kesef lehasir hasigim mimenu, similar to how you purify silver to remove the impurities. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ha ve'sanu v'mitzuda b'mokoyim tzar k'mo b'maso. You put us in a ghetto, in a limitation. Tzar. Tzar means a border, a boundary. Everyone has boundaries, has limitations. Limitations in Golus. Mu'oka l'shoyim masker v'chevel. Rashi learns this also, another word for a enclosure. Chevel is a chain. Hame'ik v'hame'tzik. two different words, which to me, I don't know the difference and how to translate them, which cause tsar, cause pain and suffering. Kamohu, like them. On your Pasuk Yibes, Hirkafta Enosh L'Rashenu, Malchei Kol Uma V'Uma, Pasuk Yibim Yudalit, Avavir V'Secha, Biv Noischa Beis HaMikdash. When we build the Beis HaMikdash, Nishalein Nidorenu Shenodarnu Bagula, we will pay the vows that we owe you, Hashem. Pasuk Tezvav, Mechim Shemein, Moloshen Moyach, Pasuk Tezayin. That's really the next section. Okay, let's take a look over here at the Radak. The Radak, let's try to read very quickly. Okay, and then I'm going to talk to the Radak. Pasuk Ches, Baruch HaAmim, on page 565 in the Radak. Baruch HaAmim, V'oz Yom Yisrael Lo'Amim, Baruch Hu. So who is the speaker? Mi Omar El Mi. So I told you it was David. We know already the Malbim is saying it's going to be Menashe, but the Radak says it's the collective Jewish people. Klal Yisrael will say to the nations, you're witnesses, you know better than we do. You know more what you tried to do to us and how all of your plans were foiled. We survived the Golus. Now you see over two different gersois. Who? Me, Omar, El, me. So I translated this originally. I told you, Ki v'chantanu, it was the Jewish people. Klal Yisrael says this to Hashem. Or we say this to ourselves. Always ask that question, Tanakh. Me, Omar, El, me. And always try to translate the pasuk backwards. You'll save yourself a lot of agmas nefesh. Don't ever think to translate a pasuk in Nach in order. It's always a puzzle. And always ask the question when you read a pasuk, Mi Omar El Mi. The Radak says two interpretations. Mi Omar El Mi either is Klal Yisrael says this. I thought, I mean, we say to ourselves, we say to Hashem. But the Radak says, who says the first interpretation? Ze Yomu Ha'amim Hanish Odim Li Yisrael. The nations of the world, the Goyim, they say this to the Jewish people. And they, I mean, it's really strange, this. They're saying, we tested you. We were Hashem's agents. Okay? We were Hashem's agents to test you. Or, Nusachacha, Zeyomer Hanishadim Yisrael, the survivors. Okay, they say this. Acher Hamitz.
We say it in MS Be'emuna. We say that also. What preceded? Hapodena miyad melochia, lakin agolino mikaf kol ha'orizim. Basically, the very same thought that's here.
Hashem saves us from the tyrants. Same as right. This idea appears in Mary. Correct. It's similar. Now nusach acher. Achar hamatzleif. After we've been purified, k'mo shenemar, v'hevesi es hashlishis bo'esh. This in Zechariah, returning to Mashiach. A third, who's going to survive? A third, scary stuff. Utziraftim kitzreif es hakes. I'm going to purify you the same way you purify silver. Pasuk Yudalef, haveisanu v'amitzuda k'mo hanis pos b'amitzuda. Similar to a prisoner, a person that's in a trap. She'en le'derech limolet im lo al derech nes. So he learns very simple. The word va mitzuda means a trap, and you can't get out. Mu'aka ra'a. He translates the word mu'aka to mean evil. Shahaisa mitzera, which causes us pain. We live through difficult situations. Masneinu shlohayu lanu koyach lamod mimena. Okay, they put this on our loins, which is an expression which just means we were unable to withstand it. U Mu'aka shem toyar. Okay, this is a grammar lesson. We'll leave that. Pasuk Yudbeis. Hirkafta enosh. Anachnu terem hagolus lo hoysa memshelis enosh aleinu. Before the golus, lo hoysa memshelis enosh aleinu. We had sovereignty. Ela memshalt cholavad. Before we went into golus, who is our melech? Only Hashem. Viata, and now, hirkafta vish latita umais ha'olam l'roshenu. Golus, we are subject to the goodwill of an authority. Even today, we fool ourselves and think that Eretz Yisrael, they have sovereignty. We all know it's all make-believe. The job of the Prime Minister of Israel is to make the President of the United States happy. Okay, that's still true today, even though Israel has become quite a powerhouse. But we all understand that the world is a very dangerous, complicated place. Al derech be'olunu adonim zulosecha, master. We have no other master but you. V'hirkavta derech mashal kamo v'hirkavticha al bomos eretz. V'hirkav means that they're in the driver's seat. Bonav v'shamayim hatsarim nimshos la'af l'mayim l'esh l'mayim ki yo'esh sodef u'mechalev ha'mayim shoytfim u'mechalim. Two different destructive forces. V'anachnu banu v'hem b'galusenu v'lechilinu, miraculous survival. V'atotzenu lor v'ya hosesanu mehem lor eretz rivaya shahinu ravim u'deshenim ba. Okay, we've come back to Eretz. He's describing over here a very beautiful idea. The word Eretz is called the Eretz Rivaya, a new term for the Holy Land. After add to your list of words that are in Tanakh, different ways to describe Hashem. There are so many different expressions describing the Jewish people, and there are so many different words describing expressions in Tanakh. Tanakh is serious business. This is not, some poetry. This is serious business. According to the Radak, you're saying a beautiful idea, that Eretz Yisrael is described with the term Lo Rivaya, a land that is like sated, it's satisfied. It's a powerful word. The word's a hard word to translate. It means a lot of different things. You've taken us out from the Goyim, Le'eretz, to a land of Rivaya, Shehayinu Ravim Udishenimba. We are fat. And Rivaya means that we're fully satisfied. What?
Bountiful.
Okay. Bountiful, fully satisfied. V'nik mitzah, the kamsus lamed. Okay, it's a hard word to pronounce because it begins with a komatz, law. And if there's a komatz, that automatically means that the next, the shva is going to be a tnua gedoyla, which is going to be a shvana. Law, rivaya. Hard to translate. Law, rivaya. When I did bar mitzvah lessons, always try to teach children how many syllables are there in a word. So the word la ri va ya, four syllables in this word, hard word. Shem Moira al hayidia kelamar laaretz hayidua. The law, a komatz, sometimes is equivalent to a hey, a patach, the hey hayidia, sometimes. So here it's la ri va ya. It's like saying the ha-rivaya, the land that's beautiful. The Eretz Yisrael Shehi Eretz Birocha, the Eretz Rivaya. Avoy Dibur Loshon Yachid, Aloshon Anshe HaGolus, B'Yachlal, the collective noun. Omar, Oz Yomu Lovoy Beveis HaMikdash, Be'oilos, will then come to the Beis HaMikdash, with come in Oilos, L'Sham Nehadorim, Shenodu HaGolus, Kasher Yoytzeim Hokel Yis'ale, when the glorious, Hashem will take us out, Mitzras HaGolus, okay, Asher Patsu Beis Shemitzer Lohem Hoyev, Noidrim Nidorim, Im Yoitziemo Hokel Yisale, Mitzras Agolus, Oilos Mechim Toyar Min Moyach. It's the usage of the word Moyach, Klemar Kivosim, Baale Moyach, Vishuman Fat Korbanos, Keteris Elim, Hak Toras, Chelve Elim, the fats of the animals, Esek Moyvayamar, Lalasai. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Now, by the way, before we're going to do part two, I'm going to do about Shuas. I just want to ask you a question. Tomorrow, does anyone want to have a shir? No pressure. It's Erev Yom Tov. But there's no matzah to make. There's no matzah to bake tomorrow. You like to have a shir tomorrow? Okay, so tomorrow I will have a shorter shir. I will, Amir Tashem, come. No pressure to come. And we'll have a lighter shir tomorrow if anyone wants to come. Erev Yom Tov. Erev Yom Tov. Amir Tashem will have a shir. Okay, we'll take a short break now. And then I want to go over... summarize a lot of the things that we learned until now. I have a lot of different things to share with you. A lot of things, that's how I feel. It's like an Erev Shabbos tomorrow. What? Koisi Rivaya. Koisi Rivaya. My cup shall overflow. Overflow. Bountiful. It should be overflow. Correct. Okay, so we're going to have a shir tomorrow. Whoever would like to come, no pressure. And we're going to take a very short break for 30 seconds, and then we're going to continue learning some of the Inyanei Shavuos. I want to chazer over a whole bunch of things. Review. Chazorah.